This month, we've been exploring the legacy of the Supreme Court's ruling 50 years ago in Brown v. Board of Education. That decision's powerful repudiation of segregated schools is challenged today by demographics in places like California. In the Los Angeles public schools, for example, nearly 90% of the students are non-white, and they attend, for the most part, schools that are racially isolated. In other words, they're separate, and in many cases, the education they receive is anything but equal. Yet it's also possible to find schools that look much like those envisioned by the Supreme Court 50 years ago. Schools with black, white, Latino, and Asian children in the same classrooms, getting a high-quality education. NPR's Ina Jaffe reports on one such school in Los Angeles, the Sherman Oaks Center for Enriched Studies.
Hey guys, hustle class. You gotta be there to learn.
As lunchtime ends, it's hard to miss Sherman Oaks principal Robert Weinberg. He's standing on a central walkway on the campus where he can see the kids race back to class, and he's a tall man, and his hair is blue.
Well, I told the kids, made a promise to him that when we hit 800, I would color my hair, and so I'll have blue hair for a week.
Hitting 800 refers to the school's score in recent achievement tests. Sherman Oaks Center for Enriched Studies is now officially in the top 10% of public schools statewide. Few other schools in the famously challenged Los Angeles Unified School District can say the same. But Sherman Oaks isn't the kind of magnet school that just takes smart kids. The only requirements here are that the student body must be 40% white and 60% minority, and equally divided between boys and girls. Anyone can apply, says Weinberg. There's no test to get in.
We have all kinds of kids here, whether it's special ed, whether it's bilingual, or whatever.
Which is what the Supreme Court justices were after 50 years ago when they ruled in Brown v. Board of Education that segregated schools were inherently unequal. Not only is every race included at Sherman Oaks, but every economic level, too.
When parents come to tour the school and come to our presentations, they see it's the kind of school that they want their kid in. And then really it's a matter of how lucky they are when the computer selects them.
A school district computer selects kids from all over Los Angeles. 95% of Sherman Oaks students are bused to the San Fernando Valley location, some from as far as 40 miles away. The school goes from fourth grade all the way through high school, and there are just 200 kids per grade. At lunch, you can see signs of self-segregation, but it's by age and sex. Boys tend to hang with boys, girls with girls. Like many Southern California schools, Sherman Oaks is a collection of low, gray, barracks-like buildings spread over a large campus, sort of like a minimum security prison with better landscaping. So the students eat outdoors, at picnic tables under an overhang, or sit on the grass or the walkways. Fourth graders Taylor Thibodeau, who's black, and Destiny Mason, who's of mixed race, became friends at school this year. Sherman Oaks, they said, is fun, but sometimes weird.
Because I'm not used to going to school with high schoolers.
It's kind of hard because you can't adapt to everybody's, like, let's see, their type of culture or something.
Uh-huh.
So, like, Destiny, she's mixed, and she does things that I don't do. So now I have to do things she does, and she has to do things I do.
Once you get to know each other, you start becoming friends, and you make new friends. So I'm cool with it.
Making friends across racial lines is a bonus, however. Taylor and Destiny say that their parents sent them to Sherman Oaks simply because they thought it was a good school. Yet integration was the main purpose of magnet schools back in the 1970s when the program started, says Theodore Alexander, a deputy superintendent of the Los Angeles Unified School District.
It was a way that the district felt that we could alleviate the harms of racial isolation and segregation by providing voluntary opportunities for boys and girls, and it did work to a certain degree.
But with the district now nearly 90% minority, it's clear that magnet schools did not slow white flight or solve the school district's integration problems. Yet magnet schools have become extremely popular. There are now 35,000 students on the waiting list, though integration, says Alexander, may have very little to do with it.
It started as an integration program, but since its beginning, It has become a very successful academic program also.
The reason for that success may have less to do with integrating races and more with integrating kids from different economic backgrounds, says Richard Collenberg, a senior fellow at the Century Foundation.
The single most important thing is to give low-income students a chance to attend middle-class schools where peers will be encouraging achievement, where high-quality teachers are attracted to the school, where the parents are actively involved. All these things track much more closely by socioeconomic status than by race.
And race has sometimes proved a source of conflict at integrated schools. But the consensus at Sherman Oaks among students and faculty is that there just isn't the critical mass within any single ethnic group for that. The 36% of the student body that's Latino, for example, may come from families that immigrated from Mexico, Guatemala, or Peru. The 12% of the kids who are Asian may be of Indian heritage, or Korean, or Japanese. Seniors Vienna Sanchez and Anthony Graham say what also makes a difference here is that students go to school together all the way from 4th grade to 12th.
Spending 9 years with someone, any differences you have are either worked out or accepted.
And then, like, by the end year, like, now we're seniors and, like, I've known most of these people for a while. It's like, you look up how much you guys have grown, like, since you guys were 8. And then, like, not only that, but you get to know every single person in your grade.
As lunchtime debris was cleaned up, Anthony and Vienna gathered around a picnic table with a handful of fellow students from the leadership class, which plans most of the big school events. The kids were white and black and Hispanic. But the civil rights struggles that produced the integrated school they now attend just seem so 50 years ago. For Vienna and Anthony, and Greg DeBenedictis and Rebecca Lieberman, forging bonds across racial lines just seemed obvious and ordinary.
But like here, we're all intertwined and we just mingle with whoever. Like,
because we're not as affected as the people of the 60s were, so it's not like Brown v. Board of Ed, where you had to segregate people. It's no longer that anymore. I mean, it's now time to, you know, times change, and we're integrated now.
It's just we're lucky to be brought up in Southern California, where there's just so many people of different cultures and races and religions all over the place.
I haven't been to many different schools. I've been here since 4th grade, so I haven't really led a segregated life. I don't really care about race.
Are the neighborhoods you go home to ethnically less diverse than this place?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Very less diverse than this place.
Just in my circle of friends, I have white friends, Mexican, Salvadorian, black friends, African-American, Asian. There's so many different races, but when I go home, it's just Hispanic to the left, Hispanic to the right. So I guess it's kind of a cool experience to go through, getting to know other races.
And it's an essential part of education at Sherman Oaks, though one that's not measured in test scores. Ina Jaffe, NPR News, Los Angeles.
You can hear other stories in this series at our website, npr.org.